Once again, you're listening to Niecy's HealthWise, and I'm Niecy Carbone. This evening, I have a Did You Know show planned for you. That's a format that I devised quite a number of months ago, where I give you just pieces of information on a variety of subjects, tips, and hints on how to live, eat, etc., take care of yourself better. I'd like to start out this evening with the top foods to avoid if you want to be healthy. This was written by a certified natural health and holistic nutrition practitioner, Aaron Schumacher. Aaron says, if you can make only one change in your diet, it has to be to eliminate sugar as much as possible. Many people tell her that they don't eat sugar at all, but what they're really saying is that they don't add sugar to their meals or drinks. If you start reading labels on packaged foods, you'll learn that sugar, which is either chemically created or processed, is present in just about all processed foods. The average American eats over 160 pounds of sugar a year. 160 pounds, that's the weight of a grown adult. Sugar, even in small amounts, is detrimental to your health. It suppresses the immune system for hours and has a significant effect on your hormones, which can imbalance your body. If you eat sugar morning, noon, and night, your body is always in this state of chaos or imbalance, which can lead to disease. Sugar is actually an anti-nutrient, meaning that it leaches nutrients from your body. During the sugar refining process, certain nutrients are removed from raw sugar. As a result, without those nutrients, your body can't process the altered product. Next, your body leaches minerals from your body, which it attaches to the processed sugar molecules so that it can move the processed sugar through your body. Since sugar is recognized as fuel, frequently sugar that can't be processed is stored as fat. It's important to understand the difference between natural sugar, like that present in fruits and some vegetables, and altered sugar, such as white sugar, destructive to your health in a variety of drugs. Now let's talk about white flour. Almost all bread, pasta, and baked goods are made with white flour. It's easy to use, easy to store, and practically never goes bad. However, while flour contains little, if any, nutrition, it's toxic and is an anti-nutrient, much like sugar. Statistics tell us that the average American consumes more than 200 pounds of white flour every year. 200 pounds. So if you think about that, I'm just going to stop here and make a small comment. You've got 160 pounds of sugar and 200 pounds of white flour. That's 360 pounds of things that are inflaming your body and creating an environment for disease to enter. That's why it's important to eat whole grain bread and pasta if you're looking for nutrition and to avoid empty calories, being the white breads and the white flours. However, all products labeled as whole are not the same. Let's look at wheat for an example. Almost all the nutrients that were once contained in wheat are lost in the process of creating white flour. And just like sugar, because white flour is no longer a whole food, it actually leaches mineral from the body in order to metabolize it. So look for labels that say stone ground, or use whole grains such as millet, oats, quinoa, spelt, amaranth, and brown rice. Those are examples of good grains. And it's suggested that you avoid anything that is labeled unbleached or refined. Just an aside here, everyone. If you look at the label and the first thing under the ingredients that is stated is unbleached or refined, then you're eating processed flour, which is nutritionally empty and is going to assist in leaching minerals and vitamins and nutrients from your body. Remember, it is an anti-nutrient. Now let's move on to processed oils. A lot of people think that low fat is healthy. That's actually not the case. We need healthy fats in our diets. Our cells are surrounded by a cell membrane, which is built with fat. When oils are heated above 392 degrees Fahrenheit, as most products are that are sold in supermarkets, the fat molecules change shape, which turns them into a different category of fats called trans fats. So once again, let me repeat that. For those of you who have never known what trans fats are, when oils are heated above 392 degrees Fahrenheit, the fat molecules change shape, and that turns them into a different category called trans fat. Cells that are built from trans fat become brittle and weak. We have approximately 75 trillion cells in our bodies. If the majority of these cells are weak, it stands to reason that our bodies may be weak and become diseased. That's why it's important to ingest high-quality fats. And what are those? Olive oil, hemp seed oil, coconut oil, flaxseed oil, pumpkin seed oil, and organic butter, or ghee, which is spelled G-H-E-E, are examples of healthy fats. So if you're still buying unhealthy fats, take a look at some of these alternatives. I promise you that when you cook with some of them, you'll actually get a taste of your meal and you will not taste the particular oil that you used, whatever the product was that made that oil. So give it a try. Many of the foods that we consume, including fruits and vegetables, have been genetically modified. We refer to them as GMO, genetically modified. The further away you get from the way nature created our whole foods, the more likely it is that you're putting chemicals and other unhealthy substances into your body, which can build up over time, and the more likely you are to develop sickness and disease. If you're aiming for a healthy life, then aim for an organic and/or whole food diet. And remember that natural and organic are not interchangeable. Once again, natural and organic are not interchangeable. Natural just means that what you see is what you get. In other words, if you look at a natural tomato, it's a tomato. Organic means that it was grown without pesticides, colorants, additives. So once again, organic means it's grown without pesticides, colorants, additives. Natural just means that what you see is what you get. In other words, it's kind of like a marketing ploy. Let's take a look now at how food can affect our mood. We all know what emotional eating is. It may feel physical in nature, but it's actually triggered by a longing for things like peace, calm, happiness, comfort, distraction, and other things. Or it could be an avoidance of stress, pain, unhappiness, etc. A 2011 University of Leuven, Belgium study showed a direct connection from the stomach-based hormones to our brains. That connection may be calling for the greatest number of calories in the smallest quantity of food available, namely fatty and sugary foods. Here's some examples. Cookies, cheeseburgers, potato chips, chocolate chip cookies. All of these things are sugary, starchy, salty, and fatty foods, and they push the brain's reward button, prompting the production of more dopamine, the neurotransmitter of pleasure and well-being. According to an assistant clinical professor at the University of Maryland School of Medicine in Baltimore, the more high-calorie foods we eat, the more we need the high that they produce. Again, increased amounts of foods like cheeseburgers, potato chips, or chocolate chip cookies are then necessary to help you feel good again. That's what they mean by a mood food. So what are the physical signals or symptoms? Well, let's start with, are we truly feeling hunger pangs? When we eat in the absence of hunger cues, in other words, your stomach is gurgling or giving you other signs, you regularly choose unhealthy comfort foods or continue eating when you're already full, then something is out of balance. So in the absence of hunger pangs, if you're eating unhealthy comfort foods, and those are some of the things that I just mentioned, then your body is out of balance, and that's a signal that it's giving you. When you follow a plant-based, unprocessed, whole foods eating plan, your body chemistry becomes balanced, and your biochemical signals, hunger, cravings, and fullness, work well, so that each time you eat, You feel satisfied and balanced, physically as well as emotionally. So, instead of eating, if you're eating for an unhealthy reason, you might try things like music or being outdoors, talking to a friend, calling them on the phone, taking a warm bath, walking, meditative yoga, swimming, anything that floats your boat. Again, this is to get rid of the underpinnings of emotional eating. So, try a pleasant substitute. Now let's take a look at our food choices and how they influence how susceptible we are to illness. Protein, that's what immune cells are made of. The sources of protein include lean beef, pork, poultry, fish, eggs, beans, and soy-based foods. Here are some other nutrients. Vitamin A, what does that do for us? This nutrient helps maintain the cells that line our intestines and lungs and guard our bodies from foreign invaders. Carrots, kale, spinach, sweet potatoes, and red bell peppers are really good sources of vitamin A. What does vitamin C do for us? This essential vitamin plays an important role in healing wounds and strengthening our resistance to disease. It also helps fight off infection. Sources of vitamin C include oranges, grapefruit, strawberries, tomatoes, peppers, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts. And what's the scoop on zinc? Well, our immune system relies on zinc to renew disease-fighting cells. Of course, we want to renew our disease-fighting cells, so good sources of zinc include oysters, beef, pork, and liver, as well as whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds. And last but not least, what about vitamin E? Well, it's a known antioxidant. We've known that forever. And in fact, it might have been the first antioxidant that we ever heard about. It has an ability to neutralize free radicals. So vitamin E keeps the immune system functioning at capacity. Good sources for vitamin E include nuts, seeds, whole grains, and wheat germ. So there's a little information for you on some of the well-known nutrients that we hear about. And do you know what to do if you get cuts or burns when you're preparing food? I don't know about you, but I'm a little inept at times or a little clumsy with my knives, and occasionally I slip and, not a happy thing. So if you cut yourself, use water, not alcohol or peroxide, to clean the wound. Apply direct pressure to the cut. Raise your hand above your heart to help stop bleeding. And apply a sterile bandage. Look for medical attention, of course, if the wound is gaping or it won't stop bleeding. Or, of course, if it's particularly deep, because you might need professional care at that point. But remember, raise your hand above your heart to stop the bleeding and clean the wound with water. When opening pots of boiling or steaming water, open the lid away from you to let the steam escape safely. So in other words, put the handle of the lid towards your body and let the steam escape away from you so that you're not in danger of burning yourself. Steam can indeed give you burns. Turn the handles of pots and pans toward the center of the stove, but not over a burner, so you can't accidentally touch them. And also, if you don't have the handles towards the center of the stove and they're towards the outside of the kitchen, someone can walk past and accidentally hit the handle of that pot and create a real mess. And I'm not talking about the mess from spilling, we're talking about the burns that can result from tipping that pot or pan over. If you have burned yourself, cool the wound under cold water, but don't use ice, which can cause skin damage. And I know this is a common reaction, so I'm going to repeat this again. If you've burned yourself, use cool water, not ice, which can cause skin damage. And of course, if you have a severe burn, or God forbid anything burns your face, or if your burns start to blister or the pain can't be controlled, then of course, seek medical attention. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but while we're discussing labeling, I had a show couple of months ago where I had an advanced master beekeeper on, and he told us lots of powerful things about honey, like its immunological benefits to us from eating local raw honey. And the reason that local raw honey can give you immunological benefits is because you are ingesting what is currently being grown or blooming where you live. And taken in honey, you are getting small doses of those items, which can actually build your immune system against those blooming plants and things that you find you have difficulties with. So where can you buy local raw honey? And it has to say raw. You can buy them at markets that sell organic food. You can buy them at farmers markets and things of that nature. You can get them from local beekeepers. And remember, if you're buying honey and you're buying it in a store, a supermarket, if it's labeled pure honey, it means nothing. Once again, just because a label says it's pure honey, it doesn't mean anything. It's like that word natural on a piece of fruit or vegetables or poultry for that matter. If it says pure honey, it can still be adulterated with syrup or other sugars. In fact, tests that have been done in this country have found honey on supermarket shelves to contain mostly cane sugar, corn syrup, and other processed products that are really bad for you. So if you're looking for good honey, spend a few dollars more and make sure it's labeled raw. In women, berries have been proven through a variety of different studies, notably one that was done at Harvard University, where researchers discovered that women who eat a lot of strawberries and blueberries had a significantly lowered risk of myocardial infarction. Now, this research was based on the findings of more than 93,000 women, and they followed these women for 18 years. That's a lot of research. So I think you need to take this into account, that again, strawberries and blueberries, eating them regularly, significantly reduces the possibility of heart attack in women. In fact, the risk of having a heart attack was 34% lower for those who ate more than 3 servings of these berries a week, as compared to those who didn't eat as many. A serving size, by the way, is considered to be about a half a cup. Once again, a serving size is considered to be about half a cup. I want you to know that you can get your berries frozen. And frozen berries, of course, when they're out of season, are a very fine alternative to eating fresh fruit. But there's one thing that you need to be aware of. When the fruit or the berries are frozen, they contain all of the nutritional benefits that they were grown with. So in other words, it's just as good as eating a berry that is fresh. But when it's frozen, one of the things that happens is the water content of the berries is significantly reduced. And when that water content is reduced, it increases the amount of natural sugars in those berries. And it increases it significantly so that a half a cup of berries that are frozen will contain 2 to 3 times the amount of fructose or natural sugars that the ripe berries contain when they come straight off of the vine. Okay, here's a couple of beauty tips for you, ladies. Don't wash your hair daily. Your scalp constantly produces oils that nourish, moisturize, and protect your hair. And unless your lifestyle requires you to sweat a lot, maybe you're a marathon runner or maybe you swim every day, there's really no need to strip your hair of a healthy amount of grease. That sounds gross, but a healthy amount of oils, you know what I mean. So the less product you use, the longer you can go without washing your hair. That means the less styling products and everything else we put on our hair, the fewer times we'll actually have to wash our hair. You've probably seen your mother, your grandmother, and just about every woman you know rubbing their wrists after they have applied perfume. Well, if you do that, you're actually counteracting the benefit that you're trying to get yourself, which is smell good. Perfume is a delicate combination of scented oils and alcohol. If you just kind of spray it on and smash your wrist together, it creates friction between the oils in your perfume and those in your skin, which can actually distort the scent that's left after you've applied a fragrance. So it might not make your perfume smell rancid or bad, but it could significantly or slightly change the fragrance so that it just doesn't smell the way it was intended to. And make sure you wash your makeup brushes. If you use a brush that has dried makeup on it, it's like applying makeup with the bottom of your shoe. Brushes carry a lot of gross bacteria, and they're sitting in your bathroom or floating around your makeup bag or in your drawer, and they're collecting a lot of germs. So clean those brushes. I use simple dishwashing detergent, which is mild, and clean mine in soap and water. I reform the brushes to their natural shape, and then I let the brush air dry, not on a countertop, but air dry. And last but not least, try not to wash your face in the morning. Like your hair, your face benefits from a healthy amount of naturally secreted oils. If you clean your skin at the end of the day, it strips it of environmental factors like, you know, pollution and dirt buildup, oil, makeup, etc. But if you wash it in the morning, it's overkill, because there's really nothing much touching your face at night. Well, I don't know if I agree with that one. I have some problems if I don't wash my face in the morning, I mean, so maybe you need to take your skin type into account. In any event, that's it for my Did You Know show this evening. I'm Niecy Carbone. Here's to your health.